So happy Resurrection Sunday, you know. Here's my point. I believe this, especially on Sunday mornings on Easter, I believe this. The story of Jesus, most people feel like they know it. If you feel like you know the story of Jesus, raise your hand. Like, I know it. I've heard it before. And if you've never heard it, raise your hand. Never heard the story of Jesus. Right? You just want to raise your hands. That's cool. But I'm assuming then that you know it. You're just like, I don't know what the trick is. The story of Jesus, the miracle worker, right? The story of Jesus, the demon remover. Maybe they know him. Maybe you do know him as the Son of God, the great I am. I pray you do. Most of us heard and read that Jesus was tortured, right? You heard, read that. He was crucified, that he died, was placed in a tomb, and rose again to life. Is anyone hearing that for the first time? Not typically on a Sunday morning, not typically. In the United States, anyways, right? So, if you're not hearing this for the first time, I pray, God usually gets on to me. So I'm like, I don't like to do this because I know this. He's like, do you? Yeah, I know it. I can repeat it back to you verbatim in every gospel. I know it. I said, yeah, but as soon as you think you know it and you got all you got to get out of it, you're in trouble. So I pray that today as we go through some things, I hope you just hear it with new ears, new eyes, new heart. There's three things I hope to happen today. One is to further my campaign with down with the false goddess of reproduction. Down with Easter. I want resurrection naming rights. You know, resurrection is Resurrection Sunday naming rights. Down with the false goddess. Anyways, number two, I want to answer the question on why did Jesus have to do that brutal death? Why did the Son have to endure that? Right? Why? The third thing is I hope you ponder is how does that impact you? So when it came to the Messiah, the Old Testament, there's prophetic declarations that seem to explain why Jesus had to do it. If they read it, it explained exactly why he had to do it. And I want to encourage you, no matter what I read from here when I read Scripture, go read it for yourself. Make sure I'm not pulling the wool over your eyes, you know, or I'm misinterpreting, or spend some time with God about it. But these people, they're supposed to have known, you know, because they're supposed to have read it, even the priests, they taught it. And then I started to get judgy. Ever get judgy in your whole life? I see that hand. Yeah. Be honest. Ever had something deep or complicated explained to you? And maybe you just nodded your head and went, cool, 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 cool. But you didn't really get it? Oh, man, if you start teching out on me or you get too far in math, I'll go, cool, 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 cool. Don't do it to me. You know, I just, yeah, that's so cool, yeah. They just didn't get it. Dr. Heidi has to text me a simple list of three items. She can't just tell me, hey, go to Fry's and pick up this, this, and that, because I'll forget what that was, and I'll see, like, ooh, dark chocolate. Wasn't on the list. What was I here for, you know? Sometimes I'm prone to space it. Try not to judge me. I gave them a little grace, too. How about this? Ever listened to a weather forecast, but you weren't too concerned? But then the weather hit, and you wish you'd listened? Dude. It's like, I came from the East Coast, and snow would get you, you know? The most important reason why Jesus, something that the church should all know, and what we're going to talk about today is stuff that we should never allow ourselves to forget. Not just know it, but never allow yourself to forget it. So say, I'm the church now. So Resurrection Sunday refresher, we're going to start on the why. I was going to make a title because I like to do series and I just, you know, I title, subtitle them. This would have been like, God, why, oh, why, oh, why, oh, why? Why did it have to happen? So I want to tackle that first before we get into the resurrection story. So let's talk about the what and the why Jesus fulfilled that Passover prophecy. Let's start with Isaiah 53. 53:3-4. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with the deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. Sidebar. Always, hear this though, always that are not his way is another way. So are we looking at really his way? When you start looking at our way above his way, we follow another way. Man, I followed another way most of my life. I decided to pray, Lord, help me not follow my way. Even though it seems like a good way, you know. But they turned their backs and they looked the other ways. You know what? So did we. I know I did. Yeah, we did it too. to other things in God. And even follow, before you found Jesus as your Savior, if you found Jesus, Jesus found you, and you've given your life, did you ever follow other things before you got to him? You know, mostly me. Whatever felt good to me is what I followed. It's not a good plan for life, you know. How often did his people, after reading the Bible, try to tell me, try to show me, and I tried to fix me other ways. I tried to heal myself. Other ways to give me purpose for living. We allow them to mold and create us other ways, don't we? Say this to your neighbor. Say, stop looking at other ways. And you look at the neighbor that said it to you, say, you too, bro. You too, bro. He was despised and we did not care. Yet it was our weakness. Yet it was our weakness he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, and a punishment for his own sins. Back in the day, of course, I'm talking about back in the day, not recently, but were any of you ever a big know-it-all? Wow, brave hands. Well, okay, there's some other courage in the church. No, I'm never going to say I was a know-it-all. I just knew a lot of things. To all. But you could maybe have been confused. Or someone said, what do you know-it-all? Ever had that thrown at you? Yeah. Or you thought you knew a lot, but then you encountered Jesus. And that changed everything that you thought you knew. So let's go back to the why all this. Isaiah 53, 5 through 6. He was pierced for our rebellion. He was pierced for our rebellion. Mankind had been a slave under the dark ruler ever since the garden. All mankind, right? He was pierced for our rebellion. He was crushed for our sins. That's hard to hear. He was crushed for our sins. But sometimes we need painful reminders. Ever a thing in your life that makes you sad, but it's a good thing it does because it helps you remember not to do that again? Yeah, I mean, yeah, sometimes anyone have, you don't have to share what it is. I'm not going to make you come up and get the microphone, I promise. But you have a painful reminder in your life going, I learned that lesson, never want to learn that one again. Yeah, I got a few of those. He was crushed for my sins. That's hard to hear, but I never should forget that when I get whiny. He was beaten so we could be made whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. All of us. All of us. Say all of us. All of us like sheep have strayed. Have you ever owned that? Like if you're here today and you never owned that. No, I've been pretty good my whole life. And yeah, I've been a good person, been a good man. I've done good things. Pretty much, I mean, and if I compare myself to society, I'm pretty good compared to most of those dopes. If you never had that moment and owned that moment that you have strayed, there's a handful of people sitting around and that we had to own that moment. Had to own that moment. Ever sincerely apologized or repented for that? I'm sorry for that moment. I had someone, they have a hometown newspaper from where my wife and I grew up, and I still get it on Facebook feeds, and they put pictures back in the day, you know? And someone, I commented on somebody's picture that I saw when we were little kids. And someone's going, I remember you. And I'm like, dang. So my instant response is, I'm sorry, I was a punk kid. Please forgive me. You know, that's my instant go-to. I remember you back in the day, instant going to apology mode. I don't always have to, but I feel like I should. You know, maybe you were different than me. We have left God's paths. That's an understatement for some of us. I mean, there's your path, and then there's, like, dark paths, and I've been on some bad paths. Self-path is the same as rebellion. Whatever's not God's path is going to be a problem. Whatever is not God, it's just what happens. It says, we have left God's path to follow our own. Say, ouch. Ouch to your past. Ouch to you yesterday. Ah! Right? To follow our own, yet the Lord laid on him the sins of all of us. I urge you, if you haven't done that, then please, I'm asking you to count the cost of following Jesus today and make an exchange. If you've never, ever done that, there's things you're not meant to carry in your life. And all of us have been stupid. And all of us have screwed up. And all of us have needed Jesus, right? God, that's what, come on. Don't let the sacrifice that was already paid for you be in vain. He did it for our weakness, he said. He did it for our sorrows. He did it for our rebellion, for our sin. He was pierced, beaten, whipped, so that we could be free and whole. There's no greater love than that, right? Jesus did all that. And I still try to make my own path. Right? Trust me. We're going, what are we going to do in 2 years with church? We're going to relocate. Where's our location? And I could come up with some amazing ideas that have a lot to do with Pine Top. I just go, okay, you know, like, woo, woo, you know. Don't make your own path. Follow Jesus' path, you know. More why the cross, and we'll get into it. Isaiah 53, 7 through 9. He was oppressed and treated harshly, yet he never said a word. He was led like a lamb to slaughter, and a sheep is silent before his shears. He did not open his mouth. That is not most of us most of the time. Anybody else prone to retaliation? Even after Jesus, you catch yourself. You go, I got a new season bracelet on. I better be nicer, you know. Everybody prone to vengeance? Oh, you don't know, man. Go ahead. Go ahead. Wait till my people show up, you know. Anybody prone for justification? I just want to be justified.
King of kings, yeah. Prince of peace, comforter and rescue.
I blew it recently, man. Sometimes I get my emotional response gets ahead of my Holy Spirit response. Anyone have an obedience problem with your mouth? Sometimes. Pastor, get to the message. This is Easter. Move on. You're blinding us with that vest. Come on. Unjustly condemned, he was led away. No one cared that he died without descendants, that his life was cut short. But he was struck down for the rebellion of my people. Say, hey, I'm God's people. He had done no wrong. And he never deceived anyone. But he was buried like a criminal and put in a rich man's grave. Dr. Heidi talked about Joseph of Arimathea. Isaiah 53, 10 through 12. But it was for the Lord's good plan to crush him and cause him grief. That was the Lord's good plan to crush him. That's hard to hear. Yet, when his life is made an offering for sin, we should always feel that a little bit. Even if we know we've been cleansed, forgiven, and set free by Jesus, you should always feel that a little bit, right? Yet when his life is made an offering for sin, he will have many descendants. Anyone? Anyone accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior and raise your hand? That's the part that he's talking about. This is a prophetic word. He's talking about many descendants because of this situation. He will enjoy a long life, and the Lord's good plan will prosper in his hands. When he sees all that is accomplished by anguish, he's going to be satisfied. I needed a relatable point. Like Jesus, like, really, like, you can be satisfied with us? You know? If I look back at some of the most difficult choices in my young life after Jesus, and reflected on those hard times, that I obeyed him even though it was difficult. And I often talk about the mess ups, my stupidity. But the moments that I've obeyed, that it was hard. Ever do something to obey and it was really hard? You knew it was God and it was super hard and you didn't want to do it. And you kind of did it, but you kind of did it like grumbly, but you did it. Sometimes I'd rather have grumbly obedience from my kids, grandkids, than not obedient at all. But I was reflecting on some of those hard times that I actually obeyed God. And I looked at the benefits that actually came to that to my wife. The benefits that have come to my children. The benefits that's come to their grandkids. The benefits that actually come to New Season. For hard, obedient things that I don't want to do. I see those sacrifices, and that made it worth it. You know, when I feel like giving up, oh my gosh, you all are too positive for me. You're like, Pastor, you got a problem. We pray for you. You feel like giving up? Harold, thank you. I see that hand. I would always look at Harold and Jake. They got my back, you know. I see the sacrifices were actually worth it. So, and because of his experience, my righteous servant will make it possible for many to be counted righteousness. For he will bear all their sins. That's the core answer why he did it. He will bear all their sins. And I'll give him the honors of a victorious soldier because he exposed himself to death. He was counted among rebels. He bore the sins of many. He bore the sins of many and interceded for the rebels. Anybody? No matter if another awesome thing I can talk to some of my guys like this in men's ministry. Pastor Justin's over men's ministry, but there's guys I can talk to like this. We just get it, you know, and you can be rough with each other. And I like that about men's ministry. Sometimes it's just rough, you know. No matter if God never did another awesome thing for some of us old school knuckleheads that deserve nothing, and Jesus saved our souls. If Jesus never did another thing for me, I should be grateful. That should be my only attitude. That should be my only attitude. Say, I'm the church. I need a new tune. Yeah. So Jesus was beaten, crucified, killed, and erased, and encased in a tomb, and he paid for all of it. And I want that to still break your heart, and never let it stop breaking your heart. And now that we're locked into that, I want to walk through. We can do this. Walk through John 20. So get me up John 20, verse 1. Now that we're locked into the why. Now on the first day of the week, I'm going to slow roll, John. So just, you know, be cool. Like hanging around with the window like you're saying, Anna, where you at? You know, there you go. On the first day of the week, it's a foreshadowing here. The first day would become a typical church meeting day. We're meeting on the first day of the week. Why? The Sabbath was on Saturday. Okay. So we're meeting on the first day of the week. Most of the time because of the celebration of the resurrection. That's why, how it came to be in the calendar. But here's the problem. Please don't get tripped up on days and traditions and rituals. Do not get tripped. Like, you could have a really great church meeting on a Wednesday night. Well, that church doesn't meet on Sundays? No, because they rented a bar and they could only meet on Wednesdays. God shows up. Why are you throwing stones? It's not on a Sunday. Bless God. Well, don't get tripped up on days. Don't get tripped up on stuff like that. Now, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark. She came to the tomb while it was still dark. This is going to be a very important feature. Be a seeker of God when it's still dark in your life. How about this, though? Oh, I do. I seek him more when darkness, man. When the rents do, I'm seeking him. You know? Okay, yeah, that's good. Be a seeker while that dark, but seek him even when all hope seems dead. Seek him when it looks like your expectation of God is dead. That's what she's doing. Her expectation was King of Kings, Lord of Lords, kick butt, taking names, Rome's getting ousted, the Messiah is here, whoop, whoop. Something like that, anyways. They're all like, yeah, remember the party? That they're coming to town, palm branches, palms high, palms low, Jesus in the house. Everybody's like, he's the King of Kings, the Lord. Like, they're dancing, you know, shaking it up. But she saw them while it was still dark. Her expectations of Jesus were dead. God can't do this. So why praise him? Oh, man. When it looks like your expectations of God are dead, no matter how dark, how let down you feel, I strongly advise you to keep seeking him anyway. Seek him while it's still dark. Seek him while it was still dark. And then saw the stone had already been removed away from the cross, across the grave. We know Jesus is back. And he smashed death, hell, in the grave. But she doesn't know that. John 20, 2 through 4. I almost had secular music, but I cut it here. Can't do that in Easter. Because I hear the flock of seagulls. She ran so far away. You know, right, Jody? He's like, Pastor Sean, stop. Old MTV. But she ran. She ran. She took off. Boom. She was in. She ran and went to Simon Peter and to the other disciple. Now, here's a disclaimer. The other disciple is John. We're going to talk about that in a minute. This is Peter and John, and they're different kind of guys. They see things a little differently. They do things a little differently. They're a little different. But what I love about Mary, she was so smart. She went back to Jesus' inner circle, to proven disciples to talk to. She didn't go to the town of the room, but what happened? She ran like, something happened. Jesus is not there. What's the tomb's rolled away? What do I got to do? I got to find someone proven, serving him, that's close to him. And I'm going to go find them, and we're going to talk about it. But they didn't blast it on Facebook first. They didn't make a reel. No TikTok. They went right to a proven source. Right? Proven disciple. That's a smart move. The other disciple whom Jesus esteemed, they ran and went and told Simon Peter, and the other disciple that Jesus esteemed, this is John's book. He's writing this. And he said to them, No, I got to pause anyways. John seems to be two things at once. John is a fact teller, right? He's telling the facts, and maybe he's a little competitive. Seems. It seems that he's esteemed, well-loved, and a little braggy about it. You know what I mean? Because I kind of feel like, yeah, I'm writing a book, and well, you know, and I'm being so humble. There's Peter and the other disciple, the one he loved really specially. That guy. You know, okay. God, I see you. I see you. Ever esteem, I esteem John, and I love that he has faults to overcome. Like, that would be a fault. If that's the case, that would be a fault, right? Especially in a proven disciple that you're obviously loved. And I started thinking about, I started judging John a minute. I was judging John for a second. The Apostle John. Like, who am I? I was like, braggy little fella, you know? And I felt like John was proven over time and trial. And I started thinking about the NCAA tournament. Basketball, I think about it often. But if a guy makes 80% of his shots, he takes the GOAT title from Michael Jordan. No one makes 80%. That means they miss 2 out of 10 times. But so often, you got someone that's hitting 80%, and we hit up, watch them hit that 2%, and we start judging that. You go, dude, back off. Homeboy puts up 80%. Give him a pass. He was a little braggy. He was telling a fact, but, you know. Remember, por favor, there is only one perfect one. Say, Jesus. Also a good side note, stop competing as the church. Stop competing as the church. Stop competing in the church. Stop competing with the church next to you. We let Pastor Marty in Romans 12 win every year. It's on the tape, Pastor Marty. No, but we don't keep score. I don't allow us to keep score. So when we turn in 0 for a number that we counted, we see our boxes and stuff stacked up. They could have done 14, but they win. Because it doesn't matter. The real winners is we're working together for the kingdom of God to get stuff done. That's what matters. But sometimes we got to stop competing with each other. We're different. They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they've laid him. So Peter and the other disciple left. As soon as they heard it, they're like, bang, we're out. They left, and they're going to the tomb. Here's an interesting thing. And the two were running together. But this is John writing, remember? But the other disciple outran Peter and arrived there first. I first go, Lord, you let that be in there? Because you need to, like, John, you got to take that out. Why? That's awful braggy. You know, what's going on? Well, first, it's very important that we all run as fast as you can to Jesus. Don't let anyone else slow you down on your run. We run together. We got to run the same pace because we're married or we're good friends. Or I found Jesus. No, you run as fast as you can to Jesus and don't worry about how fast the other person's running. Because it's all about your relationship with Jesus. It's not about the one who didn't run as fast. But the other disciple outran Peter, arrived at the tomb first. I love John. All of us should desire to be like John. He's still not Jesus. Remember, the point is running and seeking Jesus, not who is first or who is fastest. Okay, let's continue in John 25-8. So they ran. John got in there. Peter got in there huffing like me up a trail or something, you know. And then, stooping down and looking in, John saw the linen wrappings neatly lying there, but he did not go in. If you are first to Christ and you grow quickly, but you don't keep searching in deeper times, there's trouble ahead for you. Like, you can run up to a place. Jesus said this. He was telling a parable, and I'm just paraphrasing. It's not that we're staying in the scripture, but he said, where you plant a seed quickly into shallow ground, it could pop fruit up, then shrivel up and die. That's not how fast you run to a thing or how quickly you grew. That has nothing to do with it. If you're in that place and you got to go deeper, you got to look in even deeper the things you already know that happened. How fast you are and how you got some fruit isn't as important as are you deep enough to let that work keep producing fruit in your life. Now, many people like, man, they come to Jesus on fire, and I've seen people get baptized and like they're like, woo, and you see like their lives changing. Like, I used to do meth, I don't do meth anymore. Now I can do this, and they got to do this. And then like 4 weeks later, gone. Mess. If you don't keep seeking deeper, you gotta look deeper. Not just run fast and produce fruit. I'm changed a little. Then Simon Peter came up, you know, following him, and he went into the tomb. You know what happened when he went in? He was the first one to see. He went in and saw. He saw the wrappings laying there. He saw the burial cloth that Jesus had feet, not lying with the other wrappings, rolled up all by itself. Here's a little thing. Everyone wants to talk about the Shroud of Turin lately. Cool, 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 cool. But here's the thing I want to think about. True, not true. People argue both sides of the thing. Jesus never mentioned that his artifacts would be important to go look for them. Jesus never once said, hey, once I die, go look for the splinters of the cross. Once I die, there's probably a crown somewhere. You'll find it. You can sell it for $1 million on eBay. You could build a whole church around this was the pomegranate he ate at Mary's house. Symbols and artifacts are cool, but they could be the next idol to be in your way. Even if it's about Jesus. So the other disciple, say John, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first, he went in too. Okay, fast Johnny. Fashion doesn't always inspire courage, but a brother going deeper and seeking deeper will inspire you to go deeper too. Man, you got someone that's going deeper. You see them going deeper, that inspires you. You see them running fast, you go, I can't keep up. You see them going deeper and you get inspired to go in. The other guy then went in and saw. The more we go in and understand his death, burial, and resurrection, the more you may see too. He went in and saw and believed without any doubt that Jesus had risen from the dead. That's all he needed. He went, bang, that's my truth. I did doubt. I wasn't believing. I was in dark times. But then he's not there. He rose. And instantly, John was the first one. You remember he told us that? Dude, he told us he was going to do that. I forgot he told us. Because I was so like, woo, woo, we partying. They're killing him. And I just whiplash me. You know, I know he rose. So yes, run to Jesus as fast as you can and do your best. Here's your don't do. Don't compare your race to anybody else's. Just run. Stop comparing your race to anybody sitting next to you, near you, on a pulpit, on a TikTok, in the Bible. Don't compare your race, but run it. You go deeper. You see better. Say, happy Resurrection Sunday. John 20:9-10. For as yet, so keep going deeper, as yet they did not understand the scripture. Remember last week, you probably remember everything I ever shared. So good of you. But you're only as close as you're willing to draw near. You're only as close to God as you're willing to draw near. Why are they so close? Because they drew near. And maybe there's a level of truth that you're given. Is that level... how they say this. If God gives you a level of truth, it's because he can trust you with it. Like when you get things from him, you got to be able to trust with it. There's people that get the gifts of God and they wreck the church. God gave them a legitimate gift and they wreck the church with it. Because it becomes about the gift. Like when you get a revelation from God and it's really him, can he trust you with it? Just keep swimming. Just keep seeking. Just seek his promise, even if it looks dark forever. Even if you're forever, picture the thing that you're most afraid of. And he never does that. Not saying that's the truth, but can you still seek him if that's that dark? Or does it matter on the promise that you want? Or can you believe he's got a better promise for you? Got to seek him while it's dark, and then you're going to find it. The scripture that they must raise from the dead was, he goes, remember that? Then the disciples, right after they go like, hey, he's not here. Remember that? What did they do? They went right home. Not here. Now what do we do? Go home. So I did bring something to lighten the mood to help you remember what we should do during dark times. You ready? Just keep swimming. Just keep swimming. Dory. Yeah. Just keep swimming. John 20, 11 through 14, after they went home. But Mary, they took off. But Mary was standing outside the tomb sobbing. And so, yeah. And so as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb too. She kept seeking. She looked in and she saw. Isn't that common now? Going deeper, seeing what you need to see, going deeper, what you need to see. Like, don't stay surface with Jesus. Go deeper, even if it's a dark time. Why? Because he will open your eyes to see something. He will. Looked in and she saw. What'd she see? She saw two angels in white robes sitting there. One at the head and one at the feet, where the body of Jesus had laid. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you crying?" Again, I didn't play Bob Marley. I wanted to. "No woman, no cry." That's where they got that from. It's plagiarism, Bob. Just saying. I love you, but that's plagiarism. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you crying?" And she told them, "Because they have taken away my Lord." So here's my paraphrase. You ready? Don't be mad at anyone else but me over this. It's almost like, listen, angel, you're impressive and all, but I'm after my Lord. So unless you're going to be helpful, go pound salt, fellas. Yeah, woo, glorious, you're here, you look beautiful, angels, well done, where's my Lord? You're not going to help me with that? Take a hike, bozos. Mary, the seeker, saw even in darkness, and she determined long time ago, if Jesus never did another thing, whether she sees him alive or not, he will always be her Lord. And she stands on it. He is taken away, and I do not know where they've laid him. After saying this, she turned around and she saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. What? Sometimes grief clouds your vision. Oh, nothing clouds your vision like grief. Your paranoia kicks in, deep sadness before you know it. You're circled down, right? You're hunkered down with Hostess Twinkies in the bathroom for 12 days. What happened? Rough. Grieving, then someone comes to the door. Who is it? Your mom. You know what she looks like. You know. Grief can cloud your vision. She did not know who it was. She didn't know it was Jesus. Come on, what? I could pick on Mary, but remember he's dealing with my judginess. I could pick on Mary on how emotions can blind us too. Ever been super emotional? Anybody with hormone issues? Go, whoa, maybe that wasn't that bad. Shouldn't have been that mad. She was 90 years old. She was driving. She could have crossed the street faster, sure, but come on. Don't be emotional, you can change it. I could say, Mary, why can't you see what's so obvious? Say, oh me. Help us, right? Seek deeper, see you better. Help us seek deeper and see you better. Resurrect us in how we see you. And resurrect me in my follow through. We could improve at times, don't you think, seeing him? Do you think we get trapped in how we expect him to look? When he shows up, we can miss it because I'm so expecting him to show up in one way and he shows up in another, completely different. Has God ever done that in your life? I want him so bad and I'm seeking him for this so bad and this is what I need so bad and I want to see him so bad. And this, God, moving here. He's right behind you. I'm over here and I'm doing this. But do this. Ever do that in your life? You say, hey, turn around. Turn around. I can improve in that area. John 20, 15. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you crying?" He's the OG writer right there. No, woman. I would love to hear Jesus sing that. Jesus said, "Woman, why are you crying? For whom are you looking?" Supposing that he was the gardener, she replied. I hear this like maybe Pastor Sharon before Jesus days in the hood, you know. Pastor Sharon shanking somebody. I don't know. She never shanked anybody as far as I know. I disclaimer for Pastor Sharon. Okay. Just saying. Strong. Supposing that he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you're the one who has carried him away from here." Now, maybe it's just me. I'm not saying this is the... Go look it up in the Greek. All the Bible school students, look this up in the Greek, see what the tense is. But this is how I hear it. Maybe it's just me. I always feel Mary's passion. She's like an old... She got saved from thuggery. You know? She says, sir, if you're the one who's carried him away from here, if you did it, if you did this, tell me where you put him, and I'm going to take him right away. I always read it that way, a little sassy. Look, if it's you that took him, just watch me come take him back. Go ahead, tell me. You took him? Did you take him? You're the guard, or you're probably the one that took him. Tell me where he is. I'll come get him. I mean, that's how anybody... I just, yeah, okay. Jesus said to her, Mary, not a woman, not woman. This time he said, Mary. She heard his voice when he said her name. Listen for that. Listen for that. She turned and said to him in Hebrew, Rabboni, which means teacher. Jesus said to her, don't hold me. Do not hold me. I picture, like, she realized, I would have done the same thing. You know, where'd you put him? It's Jesus. And I'm coming in for a hug. I'm like power hugging after him. Woo! I'll be faster than you, John. Come on. You know? Like, I just picture that's why he said that. She's moving in for a big old hug, right? He says, do not hold me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. What can we take out of that? Don't try to camp here. Big as this minute is, big as that minute is, there's a bigger one coming. I got a bigger thing to do. Don't camp in this thing that's been so great. Don't camp there. Keep going. Keep going. Don't cling to this moment or movement. There's still work to do. How many people, like, they cling to the revival? It's revival, and they cling to about, it's all about revival, and they cling to that, and that's what changes revival. See, Jesus, revival comes. They always said, we need more chairs. I said, no, we're going to have a BYOB policy. Like, what? Bring your own beanbag. Bring your own beanbag. You're under 25, bring a beanbag next week. Hey, unless you got a knee problem. You know, I'm just saying. Just saying. Don't stay married to the moment and miss the point. Don't stay married to the moment and miss the point, right? He says, but go to my brothers. Go to my brothers and tell them, I'm ascending to my Father and your Father and go into my God and your God. The first Resurrection Sunday preaching assignment he gave to a woman named Mary. People are like, women can't preach the gospel. Tell Jesus. That was the first assignment he gave out, you know. Like, Mary, don't hold me. Why? Go preach the gospel. All right, I wanted to hug first, but okay. You know. Mary Magdalene came reporting to the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had said these things to her. So run seeking him. Then can you share what you see? Share what he says when you find him. Shouldn't the church be doing that? Say, I am the church. Ask him, seriously, ask him, is it your go seek deeper season? Is it your don't think about my spouse needs to hear this message? I hope my kids are listening. Is it your seek him deeper season? Is it your share your experience with Jesus with others season? Like, that's scary, right? Be careful to share only what he says. To share his words. If you don't know what to share, share what Jesus says. Right? John 20, 19 through 22. Man, we're doing good on time. I feel like Braden on a skateboard. Just joking. So when it was evening on that same day, the first day of the week, though the disciples were meeting behind barred doors for the fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace to you. Here's a good one. No doors that we lock can keep him from showing himself to you. Even if you lock doors, Jesus can go through locked doors. Anybody have locked doors? Jesus ain't never getting in mind. You guys, what are you trying to sell? Bring Jesus over to me. What are you trying to sell? A pamphlet? You want to go to church? What is that? What's your goal? You want my money? What's happening? Unlock that door. Jesus, you're not coming in. I ain't buying no Jesus stock. He came through my locked doors. They were proven followers of Jesus. And they loved him. And they couldn't wait for him to show up. But he had to say peace to them. You know why? Because that would freak me out if he just popped in. He was dead. He just popped in. Like, Peter and John didn't know where they were in the tomb. Like, he's not there. And they're just sitting around with locked doors. Like, the Romans would kill us. What are we going to do? The tomb was rolled away. It's blown out. And all of a sudden, boom, Jesus shows up. Like, if he popped in here right now, Jesus himself popped here through the center circle, right, dropped out. Like, he came back, half of you would run. Whoa! what's going on, right? So I don't try to judge them either. Pop through some locked doors, it could have freaked you out. He showed them his hands. He showed them his side. When the disciples saw the Lord, they were filled with great joy. Then Jesus had to say to them, peace. He said, peace again. Why? Because now they're stoked. It's like, settled. This is settled down peace. Like before it's like, peace. Okay. Now it's like, whoa, he's back. You know, like, settle down, peace. You're excited. You were sad little Muppets a second ago. Now you're, bam, great joy. I love it. But settle, I got something to say. As the Father has sent me, I also send you as my representatives. Say, I am the church. I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. No one laid hands on him. He had spent hours trying to manifest the gift of the Spirit. If you love Jesus and you never received his authentic Holy Spirit, you need him to blow fresh on you. When you go home tonight, ask him for it.
Yes, Lord.
Ask him. The church is a job. It's to seek and share and receive authentic Holy Spirit, repeat, recycle. That's our job. What does he want us to do with all that? Why do all that? John 20:23. Oh, the point of heaven. The understanding of God is authentic spirit in my life. This is what we need to do with that. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven because of their faith. Forgiven because of their faith. So share his words about him. And if they believe, then extend them some forgiveness. You receive, right? He's not saying forgiveness is your deciding power. Like, aha! God gave me the power. I do not like the Patriots. I will not forgive any of them. God gave me the power. Sorry, Tom Brady. Oh. Sorry, David. Boston. It's not deciding power. It's share his words if they believe. It's really believe that you extend Jesus' forgiveness. If you retain the sins of anyone, they are retained. They remain unforgiven because of their unbelief. Why? Because not my grudge, not my perception, not my opinion that keeps people unforgiven. It's the rejection of Jesus that does that. John 20:24-25. Say, but Thomas. But Thomas, one of the 12 who was called Didymus, the twin. We got twins here? Angel, Andrew, twins, we got, hey, wait a second, Lexi, Livy, boom, twins, we got Xander and Ollie, they're in there, don't bring them out, get in trouble. Hadley and Hazel, boom, we're twins up in here. So this is a twin, talking, Thomas the twin. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, Tom was not with them when Jesus came. That's a bummer. To miss Jesus when he showed up, can you imagine? Like, you went to Common Ground and grab a cookie. You went to the bathroom, and we're like, ah! And all of a sudden, we're like, whoa, what happened? Jesus just popped in. What? Yeah, man, you're in the bathroom. Should have been up in here, I guess. I don't know. But Thomas must have really loved him. And Jesus must really love Thomas. You know what I mean? He came back for him. Man, just keep seeking light. Start, keep following Jesus. No matter what, if you feel like you missed out, everyone else is getting you. Like, I don't get why this looks like. Why is Pastor Sean waving his hands up there? He can't sing. Can he hear himself? Why are they doing that? I don't get it. I don't feel it. Just keep seeking him. Keep seeking him. Thomas was not with him when Jesus came. So the other disciples kept telling him, we've seen the Lord. They're like, we did. It's real. It happened. Ever share that with a buddy? You first become a Christian. You tell him, they're like, they saw that you used to be a knucklehead, and they see you're not being a knucklehead now, and they're still like, I don't. So the other stuff kept telling him, said, dude, we saw the Lord. And he said to them this. He couldn't even hear the people that were entrusted closely to Jesus. Why? Because he needed to see Jesus for himself. That's true for everyone. He said this, unless I see in his hands the marks of the nails, I put my finger into those nail prints, and I put my hand in his side, I will never. You know, that's a locked door. But Jesus is a master getting through locked doors. I can't fault Thomas, honestly. What does he want? He wants authentic Jesus. He doesn't want hearsay Jesus or what Jesus did for you. I want Jesus for me. No doubtful encounter. I want a real encounter with Jesus. And that should be us. We should want a real encounter with Jesus. Stay locked in. Stay looking. Seek an authentic encounter. Stay committed. Are you ready to turn and be sent? Once that happens, once you encounter Jesus like that, he's going to send you to someone who needs Jesus like you did. And you're going to be the trusted servant to do that. John 20, 26. 8 days later, agonizing for Thomas. You imagine for 8 days, we saw Jesus. We saw Jesus. It was like he popped in. He did this. It was like he smelled good. Everything was wonderful. Jesus was in the house. 8 days. He had to hear that. That was agonizing for Thomas. But you know, it was probably agonizing for the disciples too. They had an authentic encounter with Jesus and they wanted that for their friend. Man, should we want that for our friend? Not be busting, you never encountered Jesus, too bad for you, because he is awesome. I want your heart should ache for your friends that haven't seen him and never encountered him. They should ache for him. I send little Christian songs to my thug friends that used to be back in New York. And I send them music. And one of them got saved because of it. Right? Yeah, they did. He got baptized here, right? Yeah, so it's agonizing for those that miss Jesus, but it should be agonizing for us because we want our friend to find him too. Right? The disciples were again inside the house, and Thomas was with them this time. Jesus came through the doors that had been barred and stood among them and said, "Peace to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach here with your finger and put it in my hand. And put your hand in the place of my side. And do not be unbelieving, but stop doubting and believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Thomas was recommitted right there. Sometimes you got to have that Lord God moment, because sometimes we become God. We didn't realize we're worshiping the fertility goddess. We didn't realize we're worshiping ourselves. We're not realizing the work of my arm, the strength of my hand, what my mind can produce. What Pastor so-and-so says on the internet. Wait a minute. I got to reset. Who's my Lord? Who's my God? You are my Lord and my God. No matter how dark it was, no matter who's ran fastest, who you see, and I wasn't there. I'm recommitting. You're my Lord, my God. You're the Lord of my palms. You're the only reason I'm alive. Jesus said to him, "Because you have seen me, do you now believe? But blessed, happy, spiritually secure, and favored by God are they who did not see me yet believed in me." If that's you, be say grateful. I'm grateful. Thank God someone in this church had authentic Jesus when I was looking deeper. Seriously. When I hear his word and I see him in others, Pastor Pierce, he's Bishop Pierce now, man, he had Jesus, and I wanted to, and he talked about Jesus, and he taught about Jesus. It was so good. And then he put guys in my life, Kenny Brooks, who's a pastor now, and Jim Stearns, who was pastoring for a while, and Apostle John, who was just John the Crazy Samoan. And there were brothers that were seeking God and running fast while I was running with them. And sometimes they're faster than me, and other times I get in. But you got to have brothers to run with sometimes. Sisters to run with, going the same direction, what God's doing, and seeking together, right? It's important. It's important because you're also giving them the Jesus you have. And hopefully, they're giving you the Jesus they have. They displayed them. Those people pointed Jesus out to me in moments, and my character needed it. You got to have people in your life that love you enough to do that, right? John 20, 30-31. There are also many other signs attesting miracles that Jesus performed in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. God still is. God still does stuff. But these have been written so you may believe. Believe with a deep abiding trust that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Son of God. And that by believing and trusting in and relying on him, and by believing, trusting, and relying on him, you may have life in his name. So here's my thought. I want to play a song in a second. I want you to ponder some of these things. And I'm going to play the song. and I'm not going to say another thing unless I'm at the door. Why am I doing that? Sometimes you just need a moment to respond to God. And I know you're going to go home and there's all sorts of fun activities planned or you got things going on. I want you to have a moment. I want you to have a palms up, palms down moment alone with God. Jesus did it all. He removed sin, stain, punishment, the weight of our sin. Have you acknowledged that ever? If you've never owned that, today's the day to go during the song, God, I'm sorry. I repent. Here it is. Take this. Please forgive me. Take this on. Do you believe in Jesus? It's a great time to respond to him. Do you trust Jesus in his way? Is it what you choose, no matter how you feel or what it looks like? If not, connect with Jesus. Because so often we worship our preferences. Oh, if the music worship team just did this song, if we had an electric guitar player that could shred it, if Pastor Sean was actually Francis Chan, I wish. Love that guy. But don't pick and choose the Jesus you want. Ask for authentic Jesus this morning. Don't get trapped in days and rituals and symbols. Don't get trapped. Let him pop in. So maybe you don't really rely on Jesus. And you haven't been center focused on him. And he hasn't been the purpose for your existence. Today is an opportunity. You be alone with him. I'm not going to manipulate with words. I'm not going to pray out. But maybe you've never accepted Jesus. You're like, I've never really got forgiven. And I didn't know he did all that. I didn't know he did all that for me. I had no idea. Pastor Justin's going to be in the back there. Raise your hand. Pastor Justin, be glad to talk to you about that. If you never got forgiveness and you just want to walk through it with somebody. Maybe you've got forgiveness for stuff, but you got stuff that you still carry on in your life. It's like dirt in your shoe, like a pebble. You can walk that way, but it's irritating. And you can live the rest of your life with that little irritation, that little bit of something. I still love Jesus. I'm still a good guy. God's still working in me. And I got that little bit of something that's just carried on. If no one has a little bit of something in their shoe, maybe today is like that day to get it cleaned out of your shoe. Your walk will be different. Like, take this song as a moment when no one else is in the room. And I don't do this every Sunday. I usually do series, and I don't usually keep you this long. But I thought, Easter, if I'm ever going to keep you for any length of time and give you an opportunity, what's the most important thing I can do is provide you an opportunity to meet with God. So I just want to take 5.5 minutes. And I want you to have a moment with God. And I'd love to hug you at the doorway when you're done. Go ahead. Father, meet with all of us today, I pray. We re-encounter you. Pop into our locked doors. Draw us deeper in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm.